Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and now we'll be looking at how to download wisdom from God, how the grace of God can give you wisdom to function in life and to function as a minister of Jesus Christ. So tune in. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that all good things come into our life through faith through Jesus Christ who's died for us on the cross. We thank you that you're good to us and that you love us and that you've forgiven us our sins and that you've made all the things of heaven available to us by faith. And now, as we look at all the heavenly things that can be ours for the asking, we ask that you'll open our spiritual eyes and ears, create a hunger for the spiritual things of heaven in us, and help us to latch on to God and be confident that God will answer our prayers and save our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've been going through this series on downloading grace from heaven. And what this series is about, the sustaining grace of God. It's not about the prevenient grace of God before we're saved. And it's not about the saving grace when we first come to believe, the amazing grace of salvation. No, this little series doesn't ignore those. It doesn't say those things are not valuable. They're terrific things. But the grace we're focusing on is the sustaining grace of God, the sanctifying grace of God, the grace we need when our tank is empty as a Christian, when we've run dry, when we don't have solutions or answers to anything, then the grace of God will appear within us. God will supply us what we need. He will supply us the spiritual things we need to get through life. Joy and hope and patience and kindness, agape love, all the things that you can't get in the world, God will download from His Spirit into your spirit so that you can be like Jesus. And today we'll be looking at the topic of wisdom and how God's heavenly wisdom can come into you and give you the solutions for your spiritual problems, your emotional problems, and your earthly problems. That God's wisdom can appear and change any situation in your life overnight. And we're going to start with the book of James, chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, what's it say here? It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The first thing that you need before you can receive wisdom from God is a whole ton of humility. You need to realize that you can't figure life out. Life moves too fast and is too complicated and involves too many factors for you to figure it out. You have to say, yes, I do lack wisdom. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And even if I do know, I couldn't figure it out as I go along. Life's a puzzle, and God's designed it that way so that we can't solve everything in life on our own. We're going to have to go to God for wisdom. Such as if any man or woman lacks wisdom or child or whoever else, whoever we are, we all lack wisdom. We don't know the things of outer space. We don't know when Jesus is going to return. We don't know what the stock market's going to do tomorrow. We don't know whether this investment or that will work out. We don't know whether people are going to backstab us or not, or whether someone's truthful or untruthful. There's a lot of things in life that we just don't know, and our lives depend on things that we don't know about. For instance, a famous preacher who has a big ministry in Russia, he felt the Holy Spirit saying, stay in your hotel room, don't go to this meeting. Don't go to the meeting, stay in your hotel room. But he ignored the wisdom from God. He went to the meeting and he came back to find his hotel room had been burgled and trashed. his wife's jewelry stolen, his computer stolen. He didn't receive the wisdom from God. He doubted the wisdom from God. He said, no, 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 I don't need to do that. And he should have listened to the Lord, and his hotel room was burgled. God's always tapping on your shoulder. He's always trying to give you wisdom. He's trying to warn you about things. No, 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 don't marry that woman. She's terrible. But people don't listen, and they get into marriages that are absolutely appalling and mess them up. Or a woman marries a man who's a drinker. She doesn't know he's a drinker. She fools her for a little while, and he gets there, marries him, and he starts drinking again, and her life's ruined. So these things happen, and God warns us, and he taps on our shoulder and says, listen to me, listen to me. This is not a good course of action. Don't do this. Other times, God will give you an idea for your business, an idea on how to study, or an idea on an invention, and God's wisdom will flow into you, and you'll be able to be a wise and strong person. So how do we get this wisdom from God? First of all, you've got to know that you need it. You've got to know that you are a fallible human being and you need God's wisdom every minute of every day for every problem. Let me repeat that. You're a fallible human being and you need God's wisdom every minute of every day for every problem. You see, God's infinite. He can give you wisdom that's spiritual wisdom about the Bible. He can give you wisdom about your computer. I have a ministry called Cyber Missions. And in Cyber Missions, I have to fix computers all the time and I get stumped. I can't fix it. So we stop and we pray and then someone says, aha, I know the answer. And they fix it. And you know, it's always after we pray. We try our own dumb things first and then we go to God for wisdom. So we can't solve this. And then God gives us the answer time and time again. So that's us human beings. We always try and do it our own way first. Let's go back. But if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You see, God's generous and he's kind. He doesn't say, look, you're really dumb asking that question. No, he doesn't criticize you for asking for wisdom. And he's generous. And God will give you the wisdom you need to solve the problems in your life. But one big thing, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. You've got to believe the idea that comes into your head. When you pray for wisdom and it appears in your mind, and then you must act on it. For instance, in this series, Downloading Grace from Heaven, first I had one idea, then another idea, then I said, oh, these are good ideas. God's speaking to me now. So I started writing. I started believing that these ideas were good ideas, and I did a series of Bible studies on them, and I'm writing a book on them, and they were moving along, because I believe that I am receiving wisdom from God, and I'm acting on that wisdom by this broadcast and by the Bible studies and by the things I teach people. So once you receive the wisdom, you have to run with it. But what do? We say, oh, that doesn't make sense. That can't be from God. That's too peculiar. Now, just imagine Joshua marching around Jericho. Marches around 6 days. On the seventh day, he goes around 7 times and they blow the trumpets. And Joshua's probably thinking, this isn't going to work. But he knew it was from God and he just did it anyway. He didn't doubt God. He did God's instructions and they blew the trumpets and the walls of Jericho fell flat. And they were all astonished and they knew God was with them and they went in and they absolutely destroyed the city. Now, that wisdom from God must have seemed very peculiar. And when Noah was building the ark to flee from the wrath of God in the flood, it must have seemed very peculiar. But Noah laid hold of the grace of God. Noah laid hold of the wisdom of God. He obeyed God and did what God told him to do. And he believed God's wisdom, and God's wisdom worked. Let's go back to the guy who lost his jewelry and his computer. He received God's wisdom. God spoke to him and he said, no, that can't be right. And then it didn't work and he ended up in trouble. You see, you've got to listen to the wisdom of God. Ask God for wisdom, and he will give it to you generously and without reproach. Now, there are two kinds of wisdom. Let's jump over to James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Same book, book of James, verses 13 to 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom.
But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we find there's two kinds of wisdom here: gentle, godly wisdom, and violent, demonic, earthly, carnal wisdom. Now there's the wisdom of this world that shows you how to get places and how to be an entrepreneur and how to make money and how to hustle and how to lie and cheat and steal and all the rest. And this worldly wisdom produces corrupt people, and some of these corrupt people get very wealthy and they take over kingdoms and take over countries. And David in the Psalms would write, "Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they get up so high in life? Why don't you deal with them?" Then he goes into the temple and Psalm 73 and sees that they're going to be cast down. They're going to be cast down into the pit, and that God will judge them and they'll be swept away as if they had never been. So there's a wicked wisdom, a wisdom of jealousy and selfish ambition. And when you see people who are jealous and envious and petty and they're full of themselves and they're full of their own selfish ambition, then there's disorder and every evil thing. Now, you don't want that kind of wisdom. You want God's wisdom. Well, what's God's wisdom like? But the wisdom from above, the wisdom we're going to download from heaven, the wisdom that you want to come into your spirit, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. So God's wisdom will turn you into a gentleman or a lady, someone of class, someone of dignity, and you won't be raucous. You'll be gentle. You'll be mild. You'll be reasonable. People will find it easy to get on with you, and you will find it easy to get on with other people. You will not have a loud and shouting voice. Instead, you'll be a calm person and a good person and a wise person. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You'll be a peacemaker and you'll calm down situations with the wisdom that God gives you. Going back to verse 13 of James chapter 3, "Who among you is wise and understanding, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." So he talks about the gentleness of wisdom and the good behavior of wise people. If you're wise, you're going to behave well. You will be a person who walks down the street as someone who is well-behaved, who is mild, who is meek, who is humble, who cares about people, who's courteous to people, who doesn't put people down. You're walking in the gentleness of wisdom, not in the fierceness of bad-tempered selfishness. So you're not going to be a selfish person if you're wise. Instead, you'll be generous and kind and good to people. So there's two kinds of wisdom: a heavenly wisdom that partakes of the wondrous things of heaven and the love of God and the joy of heaven. And there's a dark earthly wisdom that sneaks in and tells us to take our own advantage, tells you to steal, to lie, to use your elbows to push your way through life. We don't want that. We don't want to get in contact with that. Now, the kind of wisdom you have depends on where you focus. If you focus on the Spirit, if you focus on things above, you will be filled with heavenly wisdom. If you focus on the flesh and on things below and on the world, you'll be filled with evil wisdom and dark wisdom. You might get ahead, but you'll get ahead the wrong way. So if you want the blessing of God, you've got to take on the character of Christ and start downloading the heavenly wisdom into you. Well, how does that happen? Firstly, it happens by faith. We saw that. But more than that, there's a whole long explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it starts at verse 6 and it goes down to verse 16. So let's start in verse 6. "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? So how do we receive the wisdom that's from God? He says, verse 6, he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom that's not of this age. So Paul doesn't speak the dark worldly wisdom that we saw earlier in James. He says, the rulers of this age are passing away, and their wisdom is passing away, and they were foolish for crucifying Christ. They didn't know what they were looking at when they saw Jesus. But there's another kind of wisdom, a heavenly wisdom. And it says in verse 9, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered in the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. So God has a heavenly wisdom. And this heavenly wisdom is invisible. You can't go out with a microscope or a telescope and find it. It's things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the mind of man. But they're beautiful things, and God's prepared all this wisdom for those who love him. So here we are. We're up there in heaven because we're citizens of heaven. Our life is hidden in God, in Christ. And you are seated in heavenly realms with Christ, Ephesians 2, verse 6. You're up there in heaven, and God's in your spirit man. He's speaking to your spirit man and giving you wisdom. He's telling you all these wonderful spiritual things. And then you've got to listen to that. You've got to listen deeply. And you've got to download that wisdom and then put it into practice. Well, how does the download happen? Let's go to verse 10. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So God's Spirit knows God's thoughts, just as our Spirit knows our thoughts. God's Spirit knows God's thoughts, and he speaks them to us in the inner man. You see, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So part of the role of the Holy Spirit is that you will know heavenly things, that they will be taught to you, that they will appear in your mind and in your heart, and you'll be able to download wisdom from God through the Holy Spirit and by faith. Now, in James it says faith is required. So we ask God for wisdom. We believe, and as soon as we believe, it's like opening a big rusty switch inside of us, because we don't use our faith that often. We open the big rusty switch and we say, I believe that you're going to give me wisdom. And just at that moment, the Holy Spirit says, look, I've got some wisdom from God, because I know God's thoughts and I know your need, and I'm going to give you the wisdom you need right now. And the Holy Spirit downloads into our spirit and into our mind and into our heart the wisdom we need for each problem and each day in every way. The Holy Spirit can do that because of the blood of Jesus Christ, which has cleansed us and made us able to receive wisdom from God. So you don't have to solve all the problems of your own life. The Holy Spirit's going to give you the wisdom to do that. And as you listen to the Holy Spirit, your life's going to change, and you're going to be able to receive a wisdom that's going to give you an advantage over other people who don't have heavenly wisdom and clatter and rush around in their own foolish wisdom, full of envy and selfish ambition, and destroying themselves and their families. But you're going to have a peaceful wisdom that's going to come into you and give you a face that's glorious and shining, and you'll be able to live a different lifestyle, a lifestyle without so many mistakes, but a lifestyle that will still encounter problems because you're in the world, but God will give you the solution to those problems, and those problems won't see as bad or as tough. So let's go on to verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, not in persuasion and marketing, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So when you get wisdom from God, the natural man will say, no, that's dumb. You can't do that. Well, why are you going to be a pastor? You've got so much talent, or something like that. And they will mock your wisdom that you receive from God, and they will say you're foolish. And the spiritual wisdom from God might be challenged by your family or your sisters or your brothers. They might say, why are you doing that? And then you just go ahead and you do what God puts in your heart and your mind, and you'll be the winner. You watch, because God's wisdom is far greater than the wisdom of man. And when God speaks into your heart and speaks into your mind and you know the wisdom of God, you will be able to turn around and have victory in life, because you've got another source of power, the wisdom of God. But he is, verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So, how do you get God's wisdom? You go to God, you ask, you know you have a need. You say, Lord, I'm dumb, I need help here. And that's perfectly okay. God's not going to yell at you. He says, he's not going to reproach you. He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to put you down just because you need wisdom. And by faith, you reach out to God and you say, I need wisdom in this matter. I need wisdom in my studies. I need wisdom in my finances. I need wisdom in my relationships. I want to know how to relate better to people. I want to know how to raise my children. Whatever the matter is, you go to God, and his heavenly wisdom will come to you through the Holy Spirit in your heart. So you need to be born again. So you get born again, of course. Hopefully you're born again if you're listening to this. If not, go and see a pastor and get born again so you can have God's heavenly wisdom. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to your spirit and your mind the wisdom you need. So spirit speaks to mind the things of God, and then you say, yes, I believe that. That's good wisdom. I'm not going to doubt that wisdom. I'm not going to pour cold water on it. I'm not going to say, no, I don't want to do that. Instead, when you receive the wisdom, you start walking in that wisdom. You start being reasonable and kind, and your behavior changes because you're now behaving wisely instead of foolishness. You're walking in the gentleness of wisdom as a wise and dignified person. The whole tone of your life changes. People say, oh, so-and-so, she's really reliable. She's got a wisdom that most of us don't have. She sees things differently, and she's quiet, and she's gentle, and she's dignified, and we really like her. She's different because she has the wisdom of God operating in her life, her mind, and her heart. So you need to lay hold of the wisdom of God for all the circumstances of your life. Now, how can we have this wisdom? Why do we have access to this wisdom from God? We're going to have to go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 10. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verses 5 to 10. This will give you some theological basis for what I'm saying. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You get saved, and you're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you see, God saved you by grace, and he seated you in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And this is for a purpose in the ages to come. But it's also got a purpose now, and that God's got good works prepared beforehand for us to do. So God's got a ministry for you. He's got good works he wants you to do here on earth. Those good works could be raising children, being a good husband, being a politician, or being a good doctor or nurse or something like that. God's got good works for you to do. He could be a pastor or whatever. God's got good works for you to do. And the only way you can fulfill those good works is with the wisdom of God being downloaded into you by faith. And so we receive grace by faith so that we can do good works. Part of the grace we receive by faith in order to do good works is wisdom. And we can receive God's wisdom because we're up there in heaven with God. He seated us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. And the things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man, these things can enter into us because the Holy Spirit takes the things of God and reveals them to us. So the Holy Spirit takes the things of God, reveals them to us. We receive them by faith and we say, yes, Lord, I'm taking hold of your wisdom right now. And then we take God's wisdom and we do the good works that God has created beforehand for us to do. As we do that, we become a channel of living water to the world around us. We spread the gospel, we spread love, we spread wisdom, we solve the problems of the world with the wisdom we receive from heaven. So the wisdom you receive from heaven will make you into someone that can solve the problems of the world around you in real time, because God's downloading that wisdom to you in real time. He's making you someone who is gracious, who is good, who is kind, and is doing good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do. And as you do that, you will walk in obedience to wisdom, you'll walk in the gentleness of wisdom, you'll walk in the kindness of wisdom, and you will become a force for good on this planet. So if you want to be a force for good for your family, if you want to be a force for good for the nation around you, if you want to be a force for good and challenge the powers and principalities that hold people captive, if you want words from God that are sharper than a two-edged sword and can cast out demons and cause miracles, then you have to get that wisdom from God. And you have to receive it from God. It's not yours to build from the ground up. You have to receive it from heaven because you can't build it by yourself. Your own wisdom is insufficient. You face too many challenges. You need wisdom from God, and you need a wisdom that the world cannot give, and you need a peace that the world cannot give. So you need divine wisdom downloaded into you through the Holy Spirit, and it comes in the form of grace, which is received by faith. You do not doubt the wisdom you receive, but you implement it and you say, thank you, Lord, for that idea. Thank you, Lord, for that solution. Thank you, Lord, that I've understood finally how to do this task. Thank you, Lord, that I've understood finally how to be a courteous and good person. Thank you, Lord, for giving wisdom in controlling my temper or something like that. And so God will give you the wisdom you need at the time you need it. You've just got to believe that it's going to arrive within you. And this is a stunning way of living. I've tried it for many years now, and it works. God can give you wisdom for every single problem. If you're prepared to walk in the purity of heaven, the gentleness of heaven, and the kindness of heaven, and put your own ego aside, no more selfish ambition, no more tearing around trying to be number one, but instead walk as Jesus walked, as a holy man or a holy woman on the face of this earth, because God loves you. And God has a wonderful plan for your life. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.